Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And this show is going to be very intriguing about our inner selves connected to our outer selves to create a bigger self. So this is about how to find that grander place in yourself, that opportunity for us to hold ourselves in the larger universe in a way that can manifest self and manifest life and create in magic ways. And to help us talk about that is an author of a book that I've enjoyed reading and perusing through with my deeper self. And her name is Suzanne Taylor Shire. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Peter. I loved the way you described your journey through the book and your journey from the inner world connected to the larger dimensions. It's wonderful.
Well, it all sounds good. Your book sounds good, too. So we're going to talk about how to use it, what it means, and how to read it in a way that actually can work for you. Because that's what it's about. That's what you're striving for in this book. It's called Soul Reunion, and it means connecting to our inner self, and our inner self is actually connected to a greater self. And so you are very elaborate on it in your book. It's so many ways that you look at it, and I know that you work with a lot of people helping to find that place in themselves.
That's right, I do. That's my love, is to be able to bridge the spiritual world and our daily life so that it's all one thing. And when I speak about the word soul reunion, that's a way of describing it. It's a reunion with what is already a known component within us. It's a home base. Everyone wants to know home base, whether that relates to having a physical home that will never be taken away from us, or having a sense of family that we know is there for us. This space of connecting with soul reunion within us is a way of knowing that home base unconditionally without worrying about all the outer factors that seem to be moving and shaking and changing for us all the time these days.
Well, to me, you know, this is just another way of talking about self-realization and even enlightenment, because it's finding our light. It's understanding that there is a place inside of us that is grander than we think, than our mind and our egos have determined.
Yes, absolutely. It's that divine pulsation that gives us life from the very get-go and allows us to feel a sense of connection to something so much larger than ourselves.
For so many people, this is very hard to do because, for a lot of reasons. One is that we're only using a small portion of our brains to begin with. Another is that we get conditioned from our childhood, through our childhood. We're even conditioned in the womb and even in our ancestral genes. So we're carrying all of these stories of limitation and disability that we have to actually heal through in our lives in a way that works. And what you're positioning us for in this is to do it from a vantage point that is very sacred and holy, so that we can see ourselves in another light than our minds are often trapped in.
That's right. I love your use of the word sacred and holy, because it really is a new way of looking at our issues, our stories. They're all parts of us that have been separated from this sacred revelation of ourselves. Back along the way, we made choices. We always do. have the right to make choices, and we've made choices to buy into something other than being and staying connected to our divinity, to our sense of a larger self. And when we make that choice to separate, then we create a story of separation that we have to undo later on. And that's what we're working with now, is the ability to bring those parts of ourselves that are held in fear, held in helplessness and powerlessness, back into the space of sacred union. And it's really quite easy.
Wait a minute. I'm going to catch you up on that. I don't know how easy. I mean, it's certainly a simple concept.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that it's easy to bridge.
Well, that's
I want to challenge you there. What is that?
Good. All right. Please do. So once you know, in essence, the easier formula, then it's easy. You an example, okay?
Okay.
So imagine that you don't have a job and you're feeling very helpless about that idea. I don't have a job, okay? I don't know where to look for a job. The feeling beneath I don't know where, which is confusion and all of that, is a sense of powerlessness and helplessness to change the situation, correct? And
yes.
Everyone has experienced that, probably on a daily basis these days.
Well, the more that we are in the experience of lack, the more we're dragging our frequency down. We're working at a much lower vibration when we're in fear. And that disconnects from the flow of the universe. And it's very hard to replace that with a higher frequency when you're holding on to fear. But what you're saying is that when you can get into that place of divine inspiration, then maybe that in itself can attract opportunities that might not have been attracted otherwise.
Certainly, yes. Let me give you a quick example of how to do that, okay?
Sure.
So imagine I'm sitting in helplessness. It's not me that's in helplessness. It's a part of me. There is a part of me that feels helpless. I am not helpless. I am connected. So what you do is you go into that part that's feeling helpless and you name it and you go, I feel helpless. Without connection, I feel helpless. Just adding those two words. And then you have a chance to go, oh, that's true. This part of me is not feeling connected. So then you're identifying the problem very easily and the solution very easily by just adding those two words, and then you say, it's true, without connection, I feel helpless. I need to get connected. I need to be creative. Because you may not know how to get connected, so to speak,
exactly.
In that moment.
Exactly. That's
so,
the point. You know,
yeah.
We can talk about it all we want,
mm-hmm.
but what does connected mean?
Right. Okay, good. What connected looks like, let's describe that. When you are connected, it's a feeling. All of us have felt connected. All we have to do is go back to that last time we felt joyful, or we felt satisfied, or felt powerful, and keep that in our memory bank. Okay? The last time I felt good about myself. Keep that in my memory bank. Bring that into your heart as a memory, which it's easy to do. Maybe it's the last time you went to Disneyland, or the last time that you drove fast in a car, or had a wonderful piece of chocolate cake, and there's a sense of, going on inside. You hold that in your memory. So you bring that into your heart. Remember that quality of experience or spirit. And then you feed that, in essence, to that helpless part that says, I don't know anything else.
Well, that I like that. It's a profound idea. Originally, I read about it in Annie Besant's book that was written in the beginning of the 20th century.
Good.
She wrote a book called The Spiritual Life, and and in it she said that no matter how spiritual we are, we're always going to face a dark night at points in our lives, and we won't have any flashlights, although in those days I guess it was candles, and all we have is a memory of it. And so the memory is so important, because we can then build from that.
Right.
And that's what you're saying. And I think we should all do that. And I think there was a show I did not long ago about making lists of our gratitude, having gratitude lists that we can just look at it on our refrigerator or our door and say, oh, these are things I'm so thankful for. And this is the light of my life. So let's climb into that.
Yes, that's right. But it's a feeling embodiment that matters. For instance, when a person even is starting to learn to meditate, they have a sensation, and that's what you want to hold on to, is the sensation. I am so grateful. I love watching my grandchild flying through the air on the swing. Register that not just in your mental memory, but in your feeling heart memory. This is aliveness.
Right.
This is aliveness. And then you have that to resource.
Right. And that's what I was saying before. Find some way to raise your frequencies.
Yeah.
Because then we can climb into a greater mutuality with higher consciousness. And with whatever spiritual realms you want to appreciate or identify with. We all have different ones.
We definitely all have different ones. That's why I like to call it sort of true aliveness or authenticity, your authentic self, when you're feeling as though you're having a great moment. So we don't have to see it as a spiritual idea, which often separates us again. The feeling is, gosh, I had this spiritual moment, but I can't claim that when I'm in a human challenge. The fact is we can, because we really aren't separate from it, but we've said, sort of like you're saying, it's a higher vibration, which makes us feel like it's something we have to reach towards, instead of going, oh, I just need to feel into that experience that I'm having right now, because we're multidimensional. I can be housing a place within myself for joy while I'm also housing a place in myself for fear. And it's a matter of changing the channel.
And also, I think, understanding how different we all are from each other, and not to compare somebody else's ability to experience that and then judge that we're not as good as that, and there's something wrong with me, that I can't climb into this as easily as someone else.
Yes, we just have to use our own experience. I worked with someone just the other day who was working with an MS condition and not able to walk as easily as she'd like to. And as we got in touch with that part of her body that was feeling a sense of helplessness, limitation, and getting it connected to her heart as home base, and her heart is filled with joy for being alive, you feed that part, and we fed that part into her lower legs, and she's actually starting to walk again.
That's beautiful.
Because the legs were just missing that connection to a part of her body that was experiencing the joy of being alive. It just wasn't in her lower body the way it needed to be, so it had been atrophying.
It's funny that it was a show I did not long ago with a mojo doctor. And I was just thinking, she got mojo.
That's right.
That's
and she
beautiful.
Gave it to herself, which is very empowering, that she has the resources. She didn't have to go to a doctor. She didn't have to go and meditate for hours or go on a retreat. She learned where to get that resource in herself, and that's what I mean by our own individual home base within us.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and it's interesting how we all long for that.
Yes.
And yet, you know, it doesn't just sit in us constantly. It's the kind of thing that has to be recreated a lot.
Yes, exactly. Recreated and chosen.
Right. But you have to be willing to do it on a regular basis, because we keep on tripping up in life with our minds and our egos and our fears that all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I thought I was connected. And now here I am fetching. You know, I'm troubled, yeah. and I shouldn't be, because after all I'm connected. But then we have to get out of that.
Well, what we do is we recognize again that there's a part of you that doesn't feel connected. There's a part of us that has been separate in fear. So we offer to that separated part the sensation that we have of connectedness. And that's why it comes up. The fear comes up because it's going, I want to be connected too. I don't like being paralyzed. So we can easily say, gee, gosh, with connection it could be different. Or what do I want to create right now?
We have to keep reminding ourselves of who we truly are.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to do. You know, I'm a normal human being. I'm not, you know, I trip over myself all the time. And I've had very, very, what you might call evolved experiences. I've sat eye to eye with my higher self, actually looking in his eye and crying at the same time, because I didn't know who he was at the time. I was in a hypnotic trance. And there was this man sitting with me, and he looked so magnificent and beautiful. And I didn't know who he was, but I kept saying, you know, he is me, I am him, he is me, I am him. And I knew that within myself. And later on, I asked my spirit guides who that man was, and they said, oh, that's your higher self.
Uh-huh.
And it was, of course, it's an illusion. I mean, my higher self appeared to me that way to show me a sense of myself that I loved and that I found so magnificent, that it was so beautiful to see myself in a way that is truly me, and yet a way that I can't always hold it. And so now I see that I know I am that being as well, but I can't always be that. You know, I'm all of a sudden I'm, you know, we had a big storm here the other day. It was like, well, okay, we just got to deal with life. And we can't float through this. We got to shovel snow or whatever we have to do. And that's a metaphor, too, about anything that we face, that we actually have to do the work.
We do have to do the work. Let's try something on right now. This isn't just for you. This is for everybody who's had a spiritual experience like you're speaking of that kind of connectedness that really makes us tick. What if you were to bring that sense of your higher self in and start to embody it by breathing right now that higher self dimension into your heart and into your body and become that higher self?
Right.
And then that higher self dimension of you is shoveling snow.
Well, I get that, and it's beautiful. And what you're saying is not to make it a thought process,
correct,
but make it a feeling process.
Yes, it's, you know, it really is about breathing it in and feeling it, a feeling sensation in your heart.
That's beautiful.
It allows you to feel connected to it, that it's real, while you're shoveling snow.
Right, it's too easy just to be intellectual about it.
Exactly, exactly, and keep it up in the larger dimensions of us. And when we do that, when we keep it away in those larger dimensions, that's the separation. And that's when parts of us suffer because we're going, well, I've got this higher self, but you don't get to have it.
Right, exactly. I'm so glad you have said this, because it's very helpful to see how we can do this every day.
Yeah.
In our breathing, in our identification with our bodies being infused by our spirituality, our greater self.
That's right. We really can embody it, even if it's as simple as feeling the brightness of the sun. You know, we're going into winter and everybody misses the sun at times. And so what about holding that, what I call that feeling memory of the sun within our heart, bringing it down, breathing it in, and feeling as though there's this light in our heart shining out, whether it's a visual or a sensation, or we're just imagining it, so to speak, it will really open something up in us to feel that that's possible.
Well, this is the big picture, and it goes way back. I've done some shows on the Bhagavad Gita, and here we have Krishna, who is speaking to Arjuna and explaining how all is one, that God infuses everyone and everything, and everything is God, and therefore we can put ourselves in that. And so that's what in a sense, you're saying the same thing. We need to see ourselves in that bigger picture of the whole universe and to be that.
Let that universe be within us.
Right.
Instead of going out and ascending to the universe and just living in that larger dimension, bringing that larger dimension within us. And you know, I've been working with people for over 18 years, and it's quite simple once you reverse the idea of how to connect. It's not about going out, it's about bringing that connection in.
But it's connecting within. It's not about saying, oh, God, help me, and some outside presence comes in to take care of you because you're such a victim, or even perhaps Jesus or whatever, whoever you want to call on out there to help you to become the father figure or the mother figure, rather than you become it. And so I like what you're saying is that, you know, because I think that it's inspiring to say, oh, I call upon the great masters or God or whatever to help me, but that doesn't empower you.
That's true. So what you do is you become that master. What about feeling that you are Jesus walking on the water? What about the feeling, sensation of being whatever your favorite movie character is, of someone that shows up very powerfully or
sure.
very joyfully? Or, you know, what if you admire Thich Nhat Hanh or the Dalai Lama? What about bringing that sensation you have when you think of them into your heart and feeling it's okay for me to feel that peaceful?
And to be part of that consciousness.
Yes.
If we're all one, we don't have to say, well, those people are so great, I'm not, so let them help me by their inspiration. Instead, bring that energy into you and become that inspiration.
Yes, it's really just a quality of spirit when we think about it that we admire about that person.
Yes, we can be anything in that way.
Yeah, and it's different for everybody. It's amazing.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
I
so
know.
This is a transformation to become all.
Yes.
And once you're all, what can't you do?
That's right. Once you're all, then you're in command of your life, and then the parts of you that are outside of the all will come to that commander of the ship and say, I want to be on your ship as well. And that's when you're able to bring the fearful parts what they need, because you have this resource of home base, call it peace in this moment, a sense of peace in your heart to bring to those parts that aren't feeling so peaceful because of a snowstorm or lack of electricity, whatever it is, there are scared parts. And so we go, oh, okay, you need some of this resource of peacefulness, don't you? And that part goes, yeah, I do. I could use that a whole lot.
Right. And then yeah. start laughing about it, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
raise
exactly.
your spirit and feel joyful in the irony of it all, too.
Yes.
You know, it's certainly different than we're used to.
That's right.
And I guess the idea is to allow ourselves now to be different. You know, to be, as I said earlier, sacred and holy. We all are. You know, and I think the greatest thing that we can do is not only to try to recognize it in ourselves, because we're the people who it's hardest to recognize in, you know, but in others, and start seeing that we're all this way. And I, of course, you need to be that way to write your book called Soul Reunion, by the way. We haven't mentioned your title. Soul Reunion, and your name is Suzanne Taylor Shire, so we want to make sure, and we'll say that again before the end of the show. Mm-hmm. But I want people to understand that this is a process, and as you said earlier, it's a simple process, and it is a simple process, but it takes purpose.
And I think anyone listening to your radio show right now has the purpose of wanting to be what we came to be. There's a sense of a soul awakening going on within that person going, the soul is starting to knock on the door of consciousness saying, there is something more for you. There really is something more for you to tap into. We each have these unique soul gifts that it is so important for us to reconnect with. The body of my work is called Soul Mastery. And so it's very, when people hear that word, it's like, yes, I know I have a masterful nature to myself that I'm trying to get reconnected to.
There's something so beautiful in everyone that they don't see, that other people can see.
Yes,
exactly. And say, why don't you see it?
Exactly. And so we don't see it in others, but they see it in us. It's so important for us to recognize and take in when people give us a compliment or see all that we are. It's just amazing.
Right.
What it is to receive and learn how to co-create with others in our life.
And for some people, it's a lot more work if you've been conditioned by parents that you're not good enough and, you know, or teachers, and you're struggling to keep on remembering that you are good enough. This is a big process, but it's not hard to get to if you can just start being a more spiritual being.
Yes, and again, what that means on a daily basis is, what do I want to create right now? What do I want to create right now? That's being spiritual, is going to the place within us that is the creator and not the one in the recession that is trying to survive.
Right,
that makes all the difference in the world if we're moving out of survival and recognizing, I'm in a moment of survival right now. I want to be in a moment of creation. And it becomes that simple. That's the point.
That's so important. Mm-hmm. And we are getting down to the last couple of minutes of the show. And this has been a beautiful journey with you, talking about our truest spirit and to hold that spirit. And I think this is an important show for people to listen to maybe more than once. And to read the book.
And well, it is. It's a wonderful book. It's, you know, Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation, just speaks to our heart and soul and what it longs to have in experience in life. So
right.
And that's why it was so much fun to write.
And we have to just keep remembering that we are playing this game of separation that we can change, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Suzanne Taylor Shire, S-H-I-E-R. How do people reach you?
At soulmastery.net. soulamastery.net. That's my website. It has all my contact information, and it has lots of fun things for you that are free, books, audios, all sorts of things that you can just tap into and explore your soul, soul's dimensions and gifts with.
That's great. Suzanne, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Wonderful to be with you today, Peter. Thank you.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.